Hello, and thank you for listening to our online Victory Sermon Archive. This archive is updated weekly with messages by our pastor, Nathan Barker. We hope you enjoyed the study from God's Word today, and thanks again for joining us.
I'm certain that many of you have had a memorable Thanksgiving in your past. Some of our dear people here this morning, you've had to celebrate Thanksgiving serving our country. How many of you here this morning served our country and you had to be away from your family during a Thanksgiving season or a Thanksgiving day? Stand up. If you had to be away for Thanksgiving serving our country. Now look, not only did these men have to serve our country being away from their family, but all of their family had to be without them for Thanksgiving. Now, I want to say thank you, guys. Thank you so much. You know, I was watching a documentary the other day, and it was on Air Force One. I just love jets and planes and all of those things. And the only time that Air Force One flew the President of the United States without being called Air Force One was 2003. Air Force One flew the President from his home in Crawford to Andrews Base in secret. They flew into the hangar where Air Force One, the second one, was already fueled. And in secret, President George W. Bush got off of that plane, got on Air Force number one, the second one, and immediately took off. The Colonel Tillman, had to even log the flight under a different name. They had a different call sign. No one, except for a few family members and a few people at the White House, knew that Air Force One was flying overseas into Baghdad, Iraq, to spend Thanksgiving with the military in 2003. They reported that the plane was a Gulfstream aircraft. Here, a 747 has been duped to be a Gulfstream aircraft. He safely landed in Iraq, spent Thanksgiving dinner with the troops on the ground in Iraq, and I'm certain that was a unique and memorable Thanksgiving for not only George W. Bush and his family and the Secret Service, but for all involved, especially the troops who were spending their Thanksgiving away from their family too. Maybe you've had to work on Thanksgiving, or had to spend a day in a hospital, or possibly at a funeral home. Like I said, there are probably many stories of unique places we have spent Thanksgiving. But this morning, we're going to look at probably the most unique place someone ever spent a day of Thanksgiving. Now, to be fair, this isn't America Thanksgiving that we're going to be reading about in the Bible. There's a good reason for that. America hadn't been invented yet. But the word Thanksgiving is used here in our text. So, take your Bibles and turn to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. In the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea, in the belly of a whale, we'll find Jonah and his day of Thanksgiving. Anybody have any more unique Thanksgiving experience than that? Not even the people that spend their Thanksgiving on the International Space Station can top this one. It's a very unique story. I'm reminded of the joke I heard years ago. A little boy was in public school classroom, and He was telling all of his friends about the story that he heard in Sunday school the day before. He was telling them about Jonah being swallowed by a whale. The teacher, who wasn't religious at all, piped in and said, "You really don't believe that story, do you?" "Well, yes, ma'am," said the little boy. The teacher went on to tell the little boy that whales don't swallow people. Finally, the little boy said, "Well, when I get to heaven, I'm going to ask him." The teacher said, "What if Jonah didn't go to heaven?" And without missing a beat, the boy said, "Then you can ask him." However, for any agnostic out there to believe it's impossible for a man to survive being swallowed by a whale, I want you to listen to this account from 1891. Some of you may have been alive. In 1891, two small whale boats from the British vessel, the Star of the East, were lowered into the frigid waters of Falkland Island, 500 kilometers east of Argentina. After sighting a huge sperm whale, crew member James Bartley, 21, watched as the harpoon met its mark and the creature dived 250 meters before the line went slack once more. Moments later, the whale burst from the water, smashing one boat. All but two of its crew were rescued. One of the missing was Bartley. The whale surfaced and was winched into the ship, where the whalers noticed movement inside the stomach, so they cut it open to its guts. Out came a boot on a trousered leg, and there was James Bartley, still living after 18 hours in the belly of a whale. Its digestive juices had permanently bleached his skin a deathly white. He lost his hair and was nearly blind. For 2 weeks, he was delirious, and it was a month before he could tell how he had fallen into the whale's mouth, feel the huge teeth grate over him, and he slid down into its throat, then its stomach. This modern Jonah lived 18 more years, dying at the age of 39. The museum makes a note. Before diving, sperm whales inhale deeply and rapidly, storing oxygen in muscle fibers, tissues, and blood. Could it be that James Bartley survived through the storage up of such oxygen? So the point is this: whether it happened or not, the point is, whether this story happened or not, the point is Jonah did get swallowed by a whale because I believe the Bible. And I do believe the Bible. If God told me that Jonah swallowed the whale, I'd believe that too. But it doesn't, of course. It tells us that God prepared a great fish. Well, we could get into the debate of a whale and a fish. The Old Testament says a great fish. The New Testament says a whale. We do know that whales are mammals and that fishes are fish. And a shark is a fish and a whale is not a fish. Well, there is a such creature that would be large enough to explain both passages of Scripture. It's called a whale shark. A whale shark is a large shark that has thousands of mandible teeth or soft teeth, and they do not chew their prey, but they swallow their prey whole. A whale shark is about the size of three school buses. And yes, it's very plausible that Jonah was possibly swallowed by a whale shark, because God in the Old Testament did know the difference between a whale and a fish. In the Old Testament, it talks about whales. In the New Testament, it talks about whales. So I believe Jonah was swallowed by a whale shark. There are zero contradictions in the Bible. You can trust every word. I just want you to know that. So what does the Bible have to say about being thankful from the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea in a belly of a whale? Jonah chapter 2, let's read verse number 1 through 10. "Then Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly." Can I just tell you, if you ever find yourself in a fish's belly, pray. Point one. and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly he... Let's just use this one right here, guys. This thing is giving me... Excuse me. We'll edit that out later. And Jonah prayed unto the Lord his God out of the fish's belly and said, I cried by reason of mine affliction unto the Lord, and he heard me. Out of the belly of hell cried I, and thou heardest my voice. For thou hast cast me into the deep, in the midst of the seas, and the floods compassed me about. All thy billows and the waves passed over me. Then I said, I am cast out of thy sight, yet I will look again toward thy holy temple. The waters compassed me about, even to the soul. The depth closed me round about. The weeds were wrapped about my head. I went down to the bottom of the mountains. The earth with her bars was about me forever. Yet hast thou brought up my life from corruption, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayers came in unto thee, into thine holy temple. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice unto thee with a voice of thanksgiving. I will pay that I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. And the Lord spake unto the fish, and it vomited out Jonah upon the dry land. There's some interesting things in this passage of Scripture. Number one, Jonah was the first person to ever be in a submarine. Did you read some interesting things there? I did. Did you know that back in those days, they had no way to observe what the bottom of the ocean looked like? And yet Jonah tells us that he was in the bottom of the mountains. Now they have submarines. They have technology that have studied the bottom of the oceans. And guess what? Modern scientists have found out that at the bottom of the ocean, there are mountains. See, science, the Bible never has to keep up with science. Science will always have to keep up with the Bible. But Jonah in the bottom of this well. I want you to see, number one, Jonah's desires. And Jonah's desire was that he wanted Nineveh to face the judgment of God. You know the story, I believe. Jonah was told by God to go to Nineveh, that wicked city, and cry against it. And Jonah decided that he was not going to do it. I don't know why Jonah decided not to do it. Maybe Jonah was afraid. Is it possible that he was afraid to go to Nineveh? It's very, very possible that he was afraid. But I also know that Jonah most likely was prejudiced towards the people of Nineveh. Nineveh was a wicked city. Nineveh and the Jewish nation did not get along, and Jonah was probably prejudiced towards those people. As a matter of fact, in my thinking about this, it was most likely that Jonah desired, and we'll find this out later, he desired to see Nineveh destroyed. That's what he wanted. He wanted, his desires were to see Nineveh face the judgment of God. Instead of wanting God to heal Nineveh, to save Nineveh, he wanted God to destroy Nineveh. Interesting enough, instead of Nineveh facing the judgment of God, Jonah did. See, Jesus loved Nineveh. It's hard to imagine anyone wanting God to bring judgment upon people instead of wanting God to cause people to repent. But I'm afraid even in the groups that we sometimes associate ourselves with, we have ill-willed and people that have hate towards certain types of groups. You and I should never want God's judgment upon people. We should always want God's mercy and grace for them. You'll not find us preaching hate behind this pulpit. Because God is not a God of hate. He's a God of love. God is a God of mercy. God is a God of justice. He is holy. Vengeance is His. There are certain things that I do not like. There are certain things that I probably could classify as hate. It's not people. It's philosophy. It's practice. But I do not want God to destroy anybody. I want God to save people. And if you're here today, it doesn't matter what you've done or where you've been, I want you to know that God loves you. He died for you. He was willing to go to hell for you so He wouldn't have to live in heaven without you. And He wants to be your Savior. And it doesn't matter what you've done. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter what you've done. Nothing can separate you from the love of God. And He'll come into your heart and He'll forgive you of any transgression, any iniquity, any sin. It doesn't matter if it's what you consider a small sin or a humongous sin. He will forgive you because He loves you. Did you know that He already paid the price on Calvary? He paid the price for your sin and for my sin. Jonah didn't want God's mercy for Nineveh. Jonah wanted God's judgment. And so God was going to teach Jonah a great lesson. He was going to have to punish Jonah because of Jonah's attitude. Jonah's desire was to see Nineveh face judgment. I hope that none of us are that way this morning. I mean, we wouldn't want to say it, but have you ever wanted somebody to go to hell? Then why in the world would you tell somebody to go to hell? And I'm certain in a group this size, someone has told someone to go to hell. Jonah's desire was for Nineveh to face judgment, but God's desire was for Nineveh to repent. God wants us to tell people. God wants us to tell everybody that we can about His wonderful mercy and grace. You say, well, people don't want to listen. That's what Jonah thought. Well, they don't deserve it. Do you know what kind of person they are? That's what Jonah thought. So if you and I want to end up like Jonah, think that thought towards people that God died for and act like that and don't tell them about people, don't tell them about Jesus who loved them and died for them because you think that they deserve God's judgment. You know, if you think that they deserve God's judgment, it could be that God will turn around and judge you for that attitude. Some people say, well, it's not my responsibility to tell somebody. Well, friend, it is. General Booth, founder of the Salvation Army, used to say this, that he wished all of his soldiers could be hung over the environs of hell for an hour so that they, having seen the torments, God of the damned, might have great zeal for the salvation of men. Could you imagine just you and me being hung over the pit of hell for just 1 hour? To listen to the screams, to listen to the cries, to sense the lack of presence of God. It would change our attitude towards people's eternal destination forever. God doesn't do that. He does give us pictures in the Bible about hell, but He doesn't do that. I'll never go to hell, and I'm thankful for it. But there are thousands, if not millions, of people that are rightly close to us that will die and go to hell if somebody doesn't tell them. Jonah was punished by God. He was thrown into the utter darkness. He was placed into the atmosphere of total despair. He was totally helpless, and it made an impressionable impact on his life. So I want you to see Jonah's desire was wanting to see Nineveh face the judgment of God. I want you to see, number two, Jonah's dire situation. His dire situation, by the way, was of his own making. Have you ever been in a dire situation of your own making? Jonah was. He was disobedient to God, and God told him to go to Nineveh, and he went as far as he possibly could to get away. If Nineveh was over there, he went over here to Tarsus. He wanted to go far from Nineveh as God wanted him to go to Tarsus. So if Nineveh was over there, he got on a boat in Joppa, and he took off to Tarsus. He was getting as far away from the will of God as he possibly could when God showed up. See, we all have choices. We all have decisions to make. We can obey God. We can disobey God. God does give us a free will. But Jonah would have rather not have disobeyed God and gotten punished the way he gotten punished. I promise you that. Someone said it this way: you may choose your sin, but you may not choose your punishment. Jonah chose his sin. God prepared a great fish. How many times have we put ourselves in a dire situation? Jonah certainly did. But can I tell you, even though Jonah made a tragic mistake, God was still able. God was still able to use Jonah. God was still able to hear Jonah. Even in the belly of a well, in the bottom of the Mediterranean Sea, where no man had ever gone before, God could still hear Jonah's cry. Even if it's a situation of your own making, God will still listen. God will show mercy. How many times have you and I put ourselves in a bad situation? Maybe we feel like God won't help us since we did this thing ourselves. Well, you'd be absolutely wrong. God is merciful and loving. He can rescue you even from your own mistakes, but it will take repentance. I quickly want to turn to Jonah's displaying his knowledge of Scripture. This is interesting to me. Jonah's desire was to see Nineveh destroyed. Jonah's dire situation was that he was in the bottom of the ocean in a belly of a well, far away from God as he possibly could. God said, you want to get away from me? All right, I'll let you get away from me. I'll get you as far away from me as I humanly possibly can without going to hell. Now I want you to see Jonah displays a knowledge of Scripture in those 3 days in the belly of a well. In Jonah 8, in Jonah, there's 8 verses of prayer. He quoted 9 different psalms in just 8 verses. 9 different psalms. And these 8 verses, he quoted Psalms 3, Psalms 5, Psalms 18, Psalm 31, Psalm 42, Psalm 69, Psalm 77, Psalm 116, and Psalm 120. Guess what Jonah probably didn't have with him? His Bible. He might have not even had a flashlight. There was no way for him to be able to read these passages of Scripture. There was no way for him to be able to think that he could see, even if he had a Bible with him, the Old Testament with him. There's no way that he would have even known that he could have done that. He didn't even know he was going to get swallowed by a whale. I doubt if he had time to pack. But I want you to know that in the bottom of the sea, in the belly of a whale, here you have Jonah 3 days. I don't know if it took him 3 days to repent, but I kind of feel like it might have. First day, he's mad. Second day, he's scared. Third day, he's desperate. And finally, he comes to God and says, and he starts quoting Scripture. You know why he could start quoting Scripture? Because he had memorized Scripture. There might come a time in your life and in my life where we're in a dire situation and our Bible, even though on our cell phone, won't even be able to be a help to us. You're going to have God to recall Scripture in your brain like that. Hide God's word in your heart that you won't sin against Him. The temptations come. You know, when temptations come, it's very seldom that we'll have a Bible sitting beside us. Now, I know we can have it on our phones now, and it's everywhere, but it is very seldom that we'll have a, and it's very seldom that we'll take the time to read the Bible and say, well, let me find out what God says about this certain sin. That would be a wonderful thing if we did that, but you know, you're going to have to recall some things that God had put in your heart and mind that you had helped put in your heart and mind. My suggestion and strong suggestion to us all is that we start putting God's word in our hearts. Start memorizing Scripture. Jonah, in the worst situation that a human being probably had ever been in besides going to hell, Jonah recalls Scripture. He starts quoting 9 different psalms. While he was floating around on seaweed in the belly of the fish, he had something to do. He could recollect Scripture. He recalled different parts of different verses that the psalmist wrote through inspiration of the Holy Ghost. If you were stuck and couldn't get a Bible, what help would you have? Just from memory or recollection. Now, some of you are like, well, I'm just a newborn Christian. I know. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word that ye may grow thereby. So you and I need to put the Word of God in our hearts and in our minds. One of the things that might be difficult for some of us to do now that we're getting a little bit more mature is to remember things. But there are ways and there are techniques that you and I can use to learn and memorize Scripture. We really do need to work on that. I'm fortunate throughout all the schooling that I had from kindergarten all the way up through my Bachelor of Arts degree in Bible. I was forced to memorize thousands of Scriptures. Now, I was forced to. Probably wasn't a willing participant. I did it so I could get good grades. But I'm sure glad they're in there. You may not have to be disciplined like I did to get good grades, but you may have to be disciplined on your own behalf so that you can recollect Scripture. When a parent calls you or a child calls you or a friend calls you and they're distraught, you could just say, hey, listen, what about this verse right here, son? What about this verse right here, son? What about this verse, ma'am? Honey, what about this verse? Jonah's display of knowledge of Scripture is impressive. Number 4, Jonah discerns that he was helpless. God finally had Jonah where Jonah needed to be. God finally had Jonah where God wanted Jonah, to be totally dependent upon God. I've said this before and I'll say it again. The Lord Jesus Christ was the most dependent human being that ever walked the face of this earth. Under his own free will, he chose this. He chose to be the most dependent human being. He says, without my Father, I can do nothing. Nothing. He can do nothing. He decided that he would not do anything outside the Father's leading and the Father and the Holy Spirit's empowering. He became the most dependent human being that ever walked the face of the earth. And yet, look at all the things that he did because he was dependent upon the Holy Spirit and the Father. You know, you and I are dependent upon the Holy Spirit and the Father too. And if you and I are truly dependent upon the Holy Spirit and the Father, like Jesus was dependent upon the Holy Spirit and the Father, there's a lot of things that God will accomplish in your life too. Now, I know Jesus was God. Jesus is God. I get that. But when he came to earth, he became subject to likeness, you and me. And he willfully chose to let the Father empower him. When he cast out demons one time, you remember he cast out demons, the disciples came to him and says, we couldn't cast these demons out. How in the world did you do it? He didn't say, well, because I'm God. He didn't say that. You know what he said? He says, this comes by prayer and fasting. You know what Jesus had been doing that week? Praying and fasting. I wonder what we could accomplish if we pray and fast. God had Jonah where he wanted him. Dependent upon him. Like I told you before, everybody has a free will. God was not going to make Jonah go to Nineveh. And God won't make you serve him either. He won't do it. He gives you a free will. But what he can do, he can make you wish you would. Like I said, you can't decide the punishment, but you can decide your life. You can't decide the rewards, but you can decide your life. If you follow Christ, it'll be worth it. And the final thing that I want to talk about this morning has to do with what we decided to talk about, Thanksgiving, and I'll close. In this 8-verse prayer, Jonah demonstrates thanksgiving. What's an odd place to have Thanksgiving? But for 3 days, Jonah was in despair. What was Jonah thankful about? His skin is being bleached by stomach acid. What's he got to be thankful for? Well, how did he demonstrate thanksgiving? Number one, the Bible says with his voice. He said he will use his voice to give thanksgiving. He cried out with a thankful heart, even in the belly of a well, in the belly where he had no hope. What could have been he been thankful for? Thankful that even if he died in the belly of that well, he wouldn't be eternally separated from God, because God was his Savior. And like the souls of Nineveh, he was a believer. Although backslidden, he was a believer. And he repented, and he started to worship. Listen, no matter how bad it gets in your life, no matter what you're going through, no matter what horrible thing that you're facing, if you're a believer, one day it'll all be better. And you'll never have to worry about anything like this again. No matter what it is, no matter how bad it is, no matter what a doctor told you last week, you can give thanksgiving because of who God is in your life. He gave thanksgiving with his voice. He also gave thanksgiving with his action. He said, I will pay that I have vowed. Sounds like that he was determined to do right now. He's going to do the right thing. Sounds like his voice was going to be backed up with his actions. And he certainly gave thanksgiving with his acknowledgement of God. Salvation is of the Lord. He was basically saying, my only hope is you, Lord. I can't get out of this belly. I mean, I don't even know how long I can last in here. I can't get out. 3 days without water, you die. All of this was salt water. He was down to the last of his living life. He was in the belly of the well for 3 days. And he realized that salvation was the Lord. So he gave thanksgiving in his voice. He gave thanksgiving with his action. And he gave thanksgiving with his acknowledgement. My only Savior is the Lord. My only help is the Lord. Can we get an amen for that? The only help that you have is the Lord. Amen. Friend, if you know the Lord and you have come to realize that Jesus is Lord, no matter where you are, you can be saved. If you're a believer and you're in the valley, even in your own making, you can repent. Get the Lord to help you. As a matter of fact, he's the only one that can. See, Jonah celebrated Thanksgiving in the bottom of the sea while living in the belly of a great fish. It might have taken him a couple of days to turn around, but when he realized that God was good to him, even when he was bad to God, it changed his perspective of God. Instead of cursing God and dying a slow digestive death, he repented and turned from God to following God. Unfortunately for Jonah, this revival was short-lived. Interesting enough, God prepared three things for Jonah. Number one, he prepared a great fish. Number two, he prepared a gourd. And number three, he prepared a worm. The largest and the smallest of creatures God used to teach Jonah great lessons. I believe Jonah was probably the person that God used to write this Bible. Write the book of Jonah. Can you imagine the Holy Spirit saying, all right, Jonah, get a pen and paper. We're going to write about something. I wonder what we're going to be writing about. And through inspiration, Jonah had to write all this down. Had to relive his account of turning from God. He had to relive. So he does go to Nineveh. He goes to Nineveh. He has one simple message. Now, he's obeying God with his actions, but his heart's still not in it. Like I said, it was short-lived revival. Because God caused the fish to vomit Jonah on the ground. God comes to Jonah again and says, Jonah, go to Nineveh, that city, and cry against it. This time Jonah goes. He does. He goes. It's a huge city. It would take 3 days to walk from one end to the other end. That's a pretty big city. I was thinking about that. I wonder how long it would take me to walk from here to Morgantown. I don't think it'd take me 3 days. I wonder if it would take me 3 days to walk from here to Pittsburgh. I don't know. I don't think so. That's a big city. To take 3 days to walk through it? He walks one day through, stops in the middle of the city, or one third of the way into the city, and he cries out, turn or burn. That's his message. He doesn't care. Turn or burn. And he And he walks out of the city, goes up to the top of the hill where God had prepared a gourd, sets under that tree, sits down, grabs a bag of popcorn, and he's going to watch this display of God's judgment and destroy Nineveh. That's what he wanted. But something happened in Nineveh. Because of that short little sermon, the king heard it. Turn or burn? Well, I certainly don't want to burn. I better turn. And the whole city repented. God even used a reluctant evangelist that really, really wasn't right with him, because it's not about the vessel, it's about the word. And God is powerful. Jonah sits under this gourd, and the worm that God creates eats the gourd, and now he's mad about that. Hey, friend, I want you to know something. Jonah demonstrated thanksgiving, although short-lived. He thanked the Lord with thanksgiving. Where are you at right now? Maybe God is asking you to do something special for him. Where are you at? You don't want to? You're reluctant to do it? What about your love for those that might be unloving? What's our attitude towards them? Yeah, they'll get theirs. What? I mean, I can't say in my flesh that I haven't thought thoughts like that. But how wrong are we? We should want to see those that do not know Christ come to Christ, no matter where they're at, no matter what color of their skin, no matter what their perversions. We should want God to have mercy and save them, because Jesus is worthy of them. He died for them. He loves them. What situation are you in away from God that you've caused yourself? Thank God he can still forgive you, still hear you. You can still have revival. It happened for Jonah. I think Jonah got right again, probably after the worm ate the gourd, because God probably used him to write the book of Jonah. We don't get that fine story, but I just want you to know there's some things that we can learn from this wonderful story of Jonah in the belly of a whale.
Thank you so much for listening. We hope you enjoyed this study from God's Word. Please feel free to like us on Facebook and join us anytime for our live stream. We hope you have a blessed day.